And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Ernest Laws.
For a few minutes this evening, we would like to discuss with you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many honest and sincere people are confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so confused that when the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit, they think only of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or when the Bible speaks of baptism, some think of the Holy Spirit baptism. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I believe a few important questions will enable us to better understand this subject. Question 1, who was the administrator of the Holy Spirit baptism? Question 2, to whom was the baptism of the Holy Spirit promised? Question 3, who was baptized with the Holy Spirit? Question 4, why were they baptized of the Holy Spirit? And then question 5, may we expect the baptism of the Holy Spirit today? First, I want to point out that Christ only can administer the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit baptism was never given as a command to be administered by man, neither to be obeyed by man. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was a promise to be received by certain men, chosen for a certain purpose. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit was an agent of the Father and of the Son, depending upon them for right of action. In regards to the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, the Bible most emphatically declares that Christ, the Son of God, was the administrator. John the Immerser said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist could and did baptize in water, but Christ and only Christ could baptize with the Holy Spirit. It was Christ, the Son of God, in His farewell message to His apostles, who commanded them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. When He said, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Luke reveals that Christ commanded the apostles to tarry in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. From John's prophecy, we observe his specific prediction as to the identity of the administrator of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that being Christ. John spoke to a mixed audience, including disciples and sinners, the wheat and chaff. Therefore, he not only spoke of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he spoke of the baptism of fire. One fundamental thing should be understood, however. John did not mean to include all disciples with reference to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Neither did he mean that all of the multitude which heard him would receive the baptism of fire. He simply made a prophetic declaration regarding these matters to the multitude that heard him. The logic question now in order is, who was baptized with the Holy Spirit? There can be no doubt about the identity of those who were promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This promise was made to the apostles. The very nature of the baptism of the Holy Spirit would bear evidence of this fact. The apostles were chosen ambassadors of Christ to be guided by the Holy Spirit, revealing to them all truth. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 through 20, Paul said, Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus said to the apostles, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heareth, that shall he also speak, and he will show you things to come. Now in order for them to reveal all truth, and know nothing but the truth, there was then the necessity of complete possession of their speech and their writings, being completely endowed by the Holy Spirit, or baptized with the Holy Spirit, having ordained them unto the Great Commission. In John 15 and verse 16, he said, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, Jesus himself did not promise the baptism of the Holy Spirit to all the world. Neither did he promise it to all of his disciples, but only to his apostles. In giving his commission to them, he said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24 and verse 49. Just before Christ ascended to the Father, he referred to the very prophecy of John and applied it to his apostles. Listen to him. Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Now the ye who received this promise were the apostles. To be more specific as to the identity of those who should receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need only to read Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, where the identity is definitely narrowed to the apostles. He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice, he gave commandment unto the apostles. Another fact indicating that all disciples for all time to come would not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the setting of the time when the baptism of the Holy Spirit would be received. He said, "Not many days hence," said Jesus. "Not many days hence" surely does not mean 1900 years hence. The days of the fulfillment are fully stated in the Bible. We need only to read the remaining part of the first chapter and the second chapter of Acts to learn that "not many days hence" was the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection from the dead. It is believed by many religious leaders that the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 disciples gathered in Jerusalem. But I believe a careful and honest analysis of the Scriptures will refute this false conclusion. In the first place, the promise of the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit was never made to anyone except to the apostles. It is true that John the Baptist did not specify all who were to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He did say that some whom he had baptized in water would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it made it known that he could not administer Holy Spirit baptism. Christ only could baptize with the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This promise was only to the apostles. They did receive the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. Before Christ left the earth, he told the apostles he would send them the Holy Spirit to bring to their remembrance all things that he had taught them and to guide them into all truth. John chapter 14 and verse 26. In John chapter 16, we read, beginning with verse 7, where it said, Jesus speaking and addressing the apostles, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Now friends, to know then the identity of those who did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need only to read the account of its administration. The record is found in Acts, beginning with verse 1, chapter 1. Luke says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. Notice, with whom? With them, the apostles. Charged them. Charged whom? He charged the apostles that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye, that is whom we ask, the apostles, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they, whom the apostles, therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But ye whom, we ask, the apostles, of course, shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. After this promise, specific promise of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, Christ ascended back to the Father in heaven. My friends, as absolute evidence that the Lord fulfilled this promise of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, we read the account of the administration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, beginning with the last verse of Acts, the first chapter, and continuing through Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we read, And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, who were they? What is the antecedent of they in this verse? There is but one answer, the apostles. But they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they, who were they? The antecedent of they can only be the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is the reading of Acts chapter 1, verse 26, through Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Surely the identity of the apostles in this text cannot be mistaken. Friends, there can be no doubt about it. The apostles only were they who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on this day, the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection from the dead. They waited in Jerusalem as they were commanded until Jesus fulfilled His promise to them by baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. The multitude, including the 120 disciples, was not even present when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. In verse 6 of Acts 2, it is revealed, Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them or the apostles, speak in his own language. Now why was the multitude amazed? Obviously because they were listening to 12 men who were baptized with the Holy Spirit speak God's word, which was heard and understood at least in 16 languages of different nations. The multitude came together and was amazed as they listened. Carrying out this divine purpose, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the record reveals, but Peter standing up with the 11, standing up with whom, does the Bible say? Standing up with the 11, but Peter standing up with the 120? No. No, my friends, the 120 did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the apostles, for it was not God's purpose that they should receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says, Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Peter stood up with the other apostles who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, having been accused of being drunk because the multitude did not understand the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the apostles answered that criticism by quoting the prophecy of Joel to confirm the fact that they were endowed with the Holy Spirit. Now, Joel said in Joel chapter 2, verse 17 through 21, And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now the apostle said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He plainly says, these are not drunken, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Some men claim the same baptism of the Holy Spirit is being administered on men and women today. They have misunderstood the prophecy of Joel and do not get the full import of Peter's application of the prophecy. If people then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, they could duplicate then what the apostles did. Now, friends, whom do you know that can do that? You know, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, he said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so, if a person was baptized with the Holy Spirit today, he could then perform miracles, he could raise the dead, he could do what then the apostles did. He could do what the Lord promised they could do when He gave the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, when He said, beginning, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now He's talking about the apostles and what they would be able to do through then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. And they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they, that is the apostles, go back to verse 14, and you find that he's speaking to the apostles. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Where is the man today, then, my friends, who can duplicate what the apostles did? If he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he could. But then where is that man who is ready to prove that he has it? Paul said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. But then an objection is raised, declaring, did not Joel say, I will pour forth my Spirit upon all flesh, meaning all men and women of the earth? The prophet Joel did say, I will pour forth, and speaking for God, I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh. What is the meaning of all flesh? Well, in the first place, all flesh could not literally mean all flesh. Paul by the Holy Spirit says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 39. Surely we would agree the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not promised to the animals, but someone suggests all flesh means all human flesh. Well, that is no better, for all human flesh then would include the drunkard, the fornicator, the reprobate, and all sinners. Surely no Bible student would advocate the theory that all human beings then are to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then the statement all flesh must have a definite application. Its meaning being that all races, that of all races, both Jew and Gentile. Now, when Joel made the prophecy, the Jew and Gentile were separate but people. The Gentiles were separate from the covenant of promise. Paul wrote, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That all at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Even the old law, which was to be abolished, was a barrier between Jew and Gentile. For we read further in Acts chapter 2, or rather Ephesians chapter 2, for he is our peace who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile, which included all flesh, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, that is, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, that is the Jews. For through him we both, Jew and Gentile, including all flesh, those who have obeyed the gospel, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. Also read Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. We are not to conclude, however, that all flesh means all Jews and Gentiles. As already pointed out, that would include all sinners. There can be but one answer. That is, the promise was given to representatives of both Jews and Gentiles. The promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was limited by Christ, the administrator, himself, limited by all flesh, representatives of both Jews and Gentiles. The baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit was administered to the Jews, as we have discussed from the second chapter of Acts, on the day of Pentecost. While the special miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit was administered to the Gentiles at the household of Cornelius. For we read in Acts chapter 10, and beginning there with verse 44, where Peter then said to Cornelius and his household, and he says, "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit," or Holy Ghost. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Then, my friends, why did Peter command them to be baptized in water in the name of the Lord? Well, you go back to Acts chapter 2, when the church was established on the day of Pentecost, and you find that he said, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Now, he wasn't talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter could not administer the baptism of the Holy Spirit, neither could any other apostle. But he could baptize in water. And thus we find that he mentions it specifically in Acts 10 and verse 47. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" Why were they to be baptized in water? Well, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the same apostle said, "The light figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." Baptism saved. One cannot be saved without baptism. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." What is the element that one is to be baptized in? Water. This is what Peter, an apostle, made clear. Therefore, we find that then, here is all flesh. When this took place, when this miraculous gift came upon Gentile household of Cornelius, then, my friends, all that prophecy of Joel chapter 2 was fulfilled. All flesh, therefore, has received the miraculous administration of the Holy Spirit. That is, representatives of both Jew and Gentile. Joel chapter 2, then, has been fulfilled. Before his resurrection, Jesus said to the apostles, as we read from Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, he said, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city, or any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, friends, after his resurrection and before his ascension back to the Father, here we find that the apostles are given here what is called the limited commission. We're not to go then unto the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, but then only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. After his resurrection and before his ascension back to the Father, he gave the great commission. Matthew's account said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Mark's account says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 5, there is only one baptism, and that was about AD 44. We find there was only one baptism, Thus, we find then that the one baptism is water baptism, is to be administered by men, because men cannot administer Holy Spirit baptism. Therefore, for one to be saved, he must do as Jesus said, to believe and be baptized in water for the remission of his sins. Thank you again for listening.